Before we begin our worship service, would you please take a moment to silence your phones for the service? Thank you. Let us stand together to worship God in truth and Holy Spirit. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Amen. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, that you have made us the seeds that will decay, but the seeds that will not decay and be born again. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ among the dead, so that there is living hope, notwithstanding the physical death of man. Thank you for giving us that does not perish, spoil, or fade. We now come to the Father, who has shown us His kindness and mercy to worship Him. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that there will be communion between the Father and all of us who worship. I pray in Jesus' name, and now we'll all dare to pray the Lord's Prayer the Lord has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We recite together the responsive reading for this morning, reading number 31. Reading number 71. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name at this hour. You have deemed precious our lives that amount to no more than ashes and have justified us with the blood of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Now, relying on such great grace and love, we have dared to come to worship service today. Accept our worship, Lord, which is offered with broken and contrite hearts. Father, as was the case with Ephesus 2,000 years ago, we really need the Lord today. More than ever, the burden of life, which is made up of labor and grief caused by sin, is much too heavy to bear. We try to forget them and we try to rely on ourselves, but our pain becomes greater and the burden of grief grows heavier the more we try to do so. Father, please forgive us for wandering away from you, thinking that you can live without you. Be our true peace for our souls, which are weary and tired. Father, you seek out those who are lost. You heal those who are hurting. We pray today that you will bind up the pain and wounds that our country is experiencing today. Remember those who have lost their lives without reason due to the ship's accident. May the Lord, who is the resurrection and the life, become the hope for those family members who remain living. Lord, we pray that we will see through the deep sadness that has come upon our country, and we pray that you will bind up the wounds of deep distrust which has opened up. Help us to recover your image within us, which we had abandoned under the pretext of making a living. Help us to worship God more than goods. Help us to learn to love each person who is more precious than the whole world, like ourselves, so that a tragedy like this will never happen again. In the same way that you promised to Solomon and the people of Israel long ago, as we seek your face in humility and in prayer, hear us from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal and touch our land. Father, we desire from the bottom of our hearts that the prayers and the praise of all of us offered today who have gathered here at 100th Anniversary Memorial Church today will be steps filled with hope by which the lost sons return to the generous embrace of his Father. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some news and announcements we would like to share with you today. Young Hwa Shin Thursday Lecture Series continues on every Thursday at 8 p.m. at Mission Memorial Hall. For this week, Ha Moon Young, a movie critic, has a lecture. The 8th Mature Believers class will start from May 13th for 10 weeks. The classes will be held on every Tuesday at 8 p.m. and on every Wednesday, 10 a.m. at the Main Worship Hall for free. Everyone who wishes to live on as mature Christians may attend. The lectures are given in video format and the sign-up forms are available at the information desk. There will be baby baptism this week on coming Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. at the Main Worship Hall. Next Sunday is a sharing Sunday. Please bring goods to share to the service teams who will be at entrance of worship halls, and the goods will be delivered to those who need them. For praise revival, there will be Song Jung Mi revival on May 7th during the Wednesday Bible study at the main worship hall. Song Jung Mi revival will be held during the first Wednesday Bible study of each month during the month of May and June, and also during September to November. the sixth outdoors day 100 together, which was scheduled for May 6th, has been postponed to next year, May 5th. Weeding and cleaning of headstones at Yanghuazhen Cemetery will take place on Saturday, May 3rd. Odd number districts will participate. The event will take place from 10 a.m. and the participating members should be their own tools. Light lunch and beverages will be prepared on that day. The ninth special intercessory prayer session will be take place under the theme of Again Before the Gospel. Please come if you wish to pray for the Korean church and the peace of this peninsula and for our neighbors who are in pain and hardship because of the sinking of Sewol-ho. If you have any personal prayer requests, please fill out a form. 2030 Saturday service will be held this Saturday from 5 p.m. at the second basement floor of Education Hall. Service for children ages 4 to 8 will be also held at the same time. Saturday early morning prayer session for young members in their 20s is held every Saturday at 6 a.m. at the second floor of Yanghuazhen Service Hall. Anyone who wishes to pray with our young members are welcome. The topic of May is meeting resurrection. Today's benediction will be given by Pastor Kim Woo-jin, who was ordained last Monday. For more information, please refer to the bulletin. We'll now welcome those registered as new members of our church last week. We ask new members and their district members, please join the welcoming meeting, which will be held at the second basement floor of the main building after the service. We now ask new members who are present to please stand up. Thank you. Now let us greet and bless our new members with welcoming song. Father God, thank you for calling our new family members to worship together as members of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. As it is the law of nature for the flame to go upwards, so it is that life cannot avoid labor, weariness, and grief, but help us, new members, to remember that in the resurrected Lord, what is there is hope, and not the labor of weariness and grief. Because of the resurrected Lord, who have saved men from sin and death, may they be comforted of the pain that they and their neighbors and families may be suffering. And so may the lives of our new family members take on new meaning and value in the resurrected Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The words of God given to us today are the book of Jonah, chapter 1, from verse 4 to verse 16. It is page 1285 in the Old Testament. Allow me to read the words. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, and the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it'll become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Amen.
Thank you.
during the past 10 days, we're all sad, depressed, and frustrated. The sinking of Sewol-ho in the Mangal waterway of Jindo is still hurting people across the country. The cause of this accident must precisely be analyzed, and all identified problems should be resolved so that we don't have such accident again. What was the most frustrating is that the death toll could not have such large if those who are responsible would have acted per the manual and made a right decision right after the accident, when life-saving was still possible. Today's scripture also vividly describes the disaster at the Mediterranean. Jonah disregarded the Lord's order to go to Nineveh, decided to go to Tarshish, avoiding God's face, and went down to Joppa port. Coincidentally, he met a ship heading for Tarshish and left for a long journey looking for freedom for himself and freedom toward ambition. Soon after, his ship was put in danger of sinking. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. The ship of Jonah was not alone. The route to Tarshish was the most distant at the time, and the voyage should go through strong tides and abrupt weather change. The Bible also says very in detail about the danger the ships heading for Tarshish would experience on their way. Let me read Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 25 to 34. The ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your wares. You're filled with heavy cargo in the heart of the sea. Your oarsmen take you out to the high seas, but the east wind will break you in pieces in the heart of the sea. Your wealth, merchandise, and wares, your marines, seamen, and shipwrights, your merchants, and all your soldiers, and everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your shipwreck. The shorelands will quake when your seamen cry out. All who handle the oars will abandon their ships. The mariners and all the seamen will stand on the shore. They will raise their voice and cry bitterly over you. They will sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in ashes. They will shave their heads because of you and will put on sackcloth. They will weep over you with anguish of soul and with bitter mourning. A country which ran ships to Tarshish was Phoenicia, invented a galley rowing both on the first and second floor for the first time in the world, and with such a fast, light, and stable ship, the country dominated the sea trade in the Mediterranean. A galley is a type of ship shown in the movie Ben-Hur, which was the subject of our church's Reading Christian History Through the Movies on the 12th March. In particular, Phoenicia had 22 alphabet characters. The characters made the country easy to write contracts and books for trade, and spread fast throughout Europe to become a foundation of English, Greek, and other European language. In the 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 22, the king had a fleet of trading ships at sea along with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years, it returned carrying gold, silver, and ivory, and apes and baboons. Hiram was the king of Tyres, a city of Phoenicia. The ships of Phoenicia crossing the Mediterranean from east to west, already in the ancient time, were called ships of Tarshish. Tarshish waterway was a dream voyage with the greatest and biggest ships. The Tarshish ship that Jonah was aboard would have been full of foreign passengers and cargoes, dropping at various countries and cities of Byblos, Tyres, Joppa, Alexandria, and Carthago. The Bible describes this ship in danger as follows: a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. These days, ships are made of steel plates with welding, but at the time, they were made of wood, and it was hard to seal the joints. The Greek word for the ship was like to be broken is lehisoper, which is the passive of sobar, meaning broken into pieces. The situation it describes is when something can be broken into pieces with an irresistible strong might. With this word, was like to be, hisheba, a Greek word meaning consider and regard. And if translated together, it means the ship was considered to be broken into pieces. This indicates it was an emergency. In the verse 5, it is well said how those who were on board acted against the crisis. All the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. When the storm got harder, sailors who knew the sea very well were afraid. They instinctively felt the wind and wave was not normal. The Greek word for afraid is wairu, which means being in extreme fear without knowing how to deal with. When people are at a loss, they would try to do anything if possible. What each sailor in fear did first was to cry out to his own God. When the sailors called God, they cried out to their own God, not the absolute God who created the whole world and leads the history. What is interesting is that calling their own God was part of the crisis management manual. Thousands of years ago, weather change was not believed natural, but an argument among gods or an expression of rage of gods. Therefore, people believe there is a god taking charge of that region, and they call their own god, since they did not know which God is for that region. That's why the captain woke Jonah and said, "Get up and call in your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." At the second phase, sailors threw their cargoes into the water to lighten their ship. A sail cannot be used for a strong storm. So they would have to move fast with only rowing by lightening a ship. For a commercial ship, cargoes are the most valuable reason for sailing. But they meaningfully did that to protect life and ship. That the life was considered higher than their asset or cargo tells us, well, that the sailor strictly followed the emergency manual. Our society does not have this basic manual to respond to an emergency. Even if there is, people do not keep that. However, the Bible shows how well the Tarshish ship with Jonah complied with the manual. The reason why we have to live as the Bible is that it is our life manual given by God who created people. If you are faced with a trouble in life, follow the crisis manual of Bible. Listen and learn the Bible, and then you will find the manual of God. The objective of God giving the Bible to us is said in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Salvation is obtained with faith. But righteous life of saved Christians grows with constant training through the Word of God. Without lessons learned from God's words, a person cannot be right and have no ability to perform whatever is good. Third, the sailors made their effort to row back to land. It is in verse 13. The men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. The captain made his order to all the people on the ship, including not only the sailors, but also passengers. When the captain ordered to all sailors and passengers, Jonah sent downstairs of the ship, lay down, and was asleep. The captain made an order and went down from the deck to the bottom of the ship to see and check the status of the whole ship. And he found Jonah fell into sleep in verse 5 and 6. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God." The captain did not say to Jonah, "How can you sleep?" to say hello to him, saying, "Mr. Jonah, you might be so tired that you sleep here." Instead, it meant, "How come you sleep here? What are you doing in this emergency situation?" in anger to rebuke him. How selfish he might look when Jonah felt sleep alone, when everybody worked together to get through the crisis. when Jonah was on board. No matter what, he wanted or not, he had the same faith with those who were on the ship. There, he was with all the sailors and passengers from different country, culture, and with religion and objective. When the ship was faced with a crisis, those who were on board would share the destiny of life and death. Jonah thought Gentiles, not the chosen people of Israel, are those who are not related with God, not taken care of by God, and have no chance of salvation. So he did not understand God's plan to save the people of Nineveh, and rather he refused and ran away. He was indifferent to what was happening on the ship, saying, "I paid the fare, and would be just fine if getting to Tarshish." Some Christians tend to think this world as a corrupt society, which would be judged. However, this world is a life community where we live together, sharing love and care, respecting, thanking, and considering each other. In the book Mature Christian, it was said, being Christians is shown not inside the chapel, but outside. Jonah was sleeping there without taking the minimum role what he was supposed to do, although being a Christian and with mission to accomplish the land of God there. The sailors ended up their limitation rationally and technically, even though they tried everything they could following the manual. Then finally, they try to use something conventional and beyond reason to draw lots. In verse 7, then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. When Jonah was chosen, they all paid attention to Jonah. At a time of crisis, everybody tends to be easily upset and put emotions first before reason. A lot of questions are fall just like the harsh wave to this special passenger. In verse 8, so they asked him, "Tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Who are you? What do you do? Where are you from? Which people?" Gentile captain and sailors and passengers who don't know God very well are asking the prophet Jonah, who is called by God, "Who are you and what do you do?" These questions are also asked by the society today when Christians and churches fail to do their job. The voice itself is from the society, but the warning and message is from God. We need to clarify our identity in front of God before criticizing. Who are you and how can you sleep? Who are we, Christians? I am a fan of Park Ji-sung, a soccer player. I went to the same elementary school with Mr. Park and am a senior to him. I have bought a team shirt with number 13 of Manchester United. I like Park Ji-sung and support him. But it is only enjoying his play. And I have never been associated personally with him, and I do not follow his words. A fan of someone, enthusiastically like someone. A fan would eagerly cheer for a team, but does not run or get involved in the game. The more games the team loses, the less enthusiasm they might get toward the team. Even they can change the team to support Liverpool or Chelsea, maybe, a fan is no more than a fan itself. There are a lot of fans of Jesus these days. The fans cheer for him, taking their seats, and do not know the sweat and effort necessary in the stadium. They might seem to know everything about Jesus. They do not build personal relationship with him. There are a lot of fans who received Jesus as their savior, were baptized, became a Christian, and called themselves a Christian, but in practice, they are not quite willing to follow the word and order of Jesus. They are fans of Jesus, not disciples. God told us to go to the stadium of this world, society, and take the same ship to work together, spread God's love, and grow the land of God. And God showed us an example himself how to live. In the book of Gospel, Jesus told, "Believe in God 4 times. And do you know how many times he said, "Follow me"? 5 times the word "believe in God." 20 times. It is not to say believing is more important than following. To believe and follow are closely linked together. These two words are like the heart and the lung in our Christian life, serving as an engine and breath of life. Either one of them cannot be left out to live. If you truly believe in Jesus, you are bound to follow him. If you follow Jesus, you're the disciple. Unless a dichotomous thinking, believing God but act differently, is broken away, churches will be full of fans of Jesus. Jesus met a lot of those people, so Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9 testifies, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by man." These people honor me with lips, but their hearts are far from me. Nothing can express fans of Jesus more precisely than this. In the Bible, there are many who fell asleep just as Jonah. Those who are first come up are the disciples of Jesus. Jesus and disciples had the Last Supper and went up to the Gethsemane to pray. Jesus, who was off to the cross, became more earnest with prayer. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. But the disciples did not pray, but were asleep. In the Luke chapter 22, verse 45, Jesus said, "When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.'" The disciples were in grief, only thinking departing with Jesus. When people are in sorrow, they are depressed, hopeless, and forget about dream and mission. There is nothing else for a man who are hopeless but sleep. They do not sleep tight. The disciples could not think about the glory of resurrection, which will follow the pain of the cross. They thought, "Who will be seated at the right hand of God when he becomes the king?" and became sad about the cross and farewell. Finally, they ran away or even turned against the Lord. In the Old Testament, a man who put the whole nation in crisis was Samson. In the Judges 16:19, having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man who shaved off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. He went blind with lust and failed to keep the promise of Nazarites, forget the life of faith and the responsibility for teaching, and fell into sleep, laying on a woman's lap. Lust drove him to forget about the mission he received from God and to lead his people and himself into ruin. Many of Christians these days are obsessed with materials and worldly point of view. They cannot tell a life as a Christian from following the worldly values, lose power of the gospel, and cannot get respect from others. Faith, life, words, and act should be one. But they want to limit the teaching of God into church as a separate place, not as the field of life, while disregarding their mission. That is why the life inside and outside the church do not match together. Faith, which is not put into practice, is faith asleep. And people around us would ask us, "How can you sleep?" When asked like this, "How do you do?" we should wake up. As God told Jonah to wake up, he now tells Christian to wake up sleepers. In the Ephesians chapter 5, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible." Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It is said, "Sleepers, wake up and shine, and have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness in our work and communities and life." Christians should not get involved in deeds of darkness. Rather, they should rebuke someone who plans an act of darkness, which is expressed in the New Testament, expose. We need to live as children of light. That is goodness, righteousness, and truth. in the darkness, Christians should not be friends with the evil power, but wake up to fulfill their roles and mission as disciples. This is how to become disciples who put into practice worship in life, life in worship. This is the first week after the resurrection. We need to wake up from the sleep. We need to be reborn as disciples of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you had Jonah, who took a ship to Tarshish to avoid God's face, realize those who were on board together share the same fate of life. Allow us to wake up from the faith of sleep. And fulfill our mission as we repent that we forgot our identity as a Christian and become observers, living a life unmatched with faith. Please forgive us. Help us live as your disciple, not just a fan, and bear the mission to accomplish your world and the society. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace given to us like Jonah, who left for his own freedom and desire. Although we are Christians believing in God, we see ourselves not thoroughly following the Lord. Help us not just stay as just fans of Jesus, having faith and life separate each other, like Jonah, who slept in storm, like the disciples who fell asleep in Gethsemane, like Samson who fell asleep on a woman's lap. Help us not forget about our identity and mission so that we are not obsessed with worldly desires in our lives. May the teaching of God be put in practice in our life, not limited to inside churches. We make our offerings, giving thanks to God, waking up our sleeping faith. Let this offering be used to wake up sleeping and dying souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now share greetings with those who are around near us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the communion of Holy Spirit be on the people of the Lord who hope and determine to live a life of believing and following God, matched together as the disciples of Jesus in this world, asking, "How can you sleep?" and the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church forever from this moment. Amen. Thank you.